is someone who has lived through a lot of trauma in recent years. Human rights lawyer Arsen Ostrovsky was living in Israel on the 7th of October 2023 when the nation was attacked by Hamas. It was the sort of attack, the sort of terror that I think we all thought, or at least hoped, we would never see in Australia. But over the years following that attack in the Middle East, the scourge of anti-Semitism, it's festered here at home. And extremism, it reared its ugly head on the 14th of December with those 15 innocent lives taken at Bondi Beach. Arsen, who had returned to Australia, was in Bondi when the two gunmen opened fire. You may have seen the images of him covered in blood, his head grazed by a bullet. It was horrific to watch as the vision filtered in on that Sunday night, and I cannot begin to imagine what it was like down there at Archer Park as the attack unfolded. These days, Arsen is the head of the Sydney office of the Australia, Israel and Jewish Affairs Council, and he's been very good enough to join us here in the studio off the back of 2 days at Federal Parliament in Canberra. Arsen, I can't tell you how good it is to see you, my friend. Good morning to you.
Good morning, mate. It's good to be here with you as well.
First and foremost, how are you? How are you going?
I'm doing much better. I probably shouldn't be here in the studio with you. You know, when you cop a bullet to the head, and it was millimetres from, literally from life and death. But here I am. You know, we can't undo the past. What happened, happened. But we need to learn from it to ensure we draw the appropriate lessons from it and that it never happens again. And that's why we're in Canberra, and that's why we are speaking out and fighting as a Jewish community, and quite frankly as an Australian community, for the country that we believe in and the country that we deserve, free from this scourge of anti-Semitism.
It's quite surreal for me sitting across from you in our studio here at Pyrmont Arsen, because the last time you sat in that chair we were talking about the threat of something like what happened at Bondi on December 14 of happening. And you shared your experience of taking your little girls to Bondi after coming back from Israel and what they experienced in Israel in the aftermath of October 7. Did you ever think it would happen in Sydney? And how have you processed what happened on that now infamous night?
You know, before we moved back here and we told our daughters that we're moving to Australia, and my oldest said, "Ah, but Daddy, does that mean no more boomies?" Meaning no more rocket sirens running to the bomb shelter. And I said, "No, sweetie, no more. This is Australia." So we certainly did not expect this here. We were shocked, but on the same hand, and as you think alluded to, it is not a huge surprise that what happened happened, because it also comes on the back of this incredible explosion of anti-Semitism. Every basically single day since October 7th, landmarks being hijacked, synagogues being firebombed, kids being accosted on the street, and it's gone on the back of warning after warning after warning that we need action. We need support. We need leadership. So hopefully we are now going into that direction.
I said on that night, I raced into the studio here with Ben Fordham to provide our listeners with rolling coverage on what was happening. And I said at the end of the night that I was so angry because I've been one of the few voices who have been calling out the anti-Semitism. And, you know, a lot of people have said to me before Bondi, they kept saying to me, "Why do you keep talking about it, Mark? Why do you keep talking about anti-Semitism?" And I took my lead from people like Alex Ripchin, like people like yourself, yeah. David Ossip, the president of the New South Wales Jewish Board of Deputies, who said, "Mark, this will happen in Australia if we do not do something about it." Yeah. How important is this Royal Commission? And we finally had the Prime Minister allude to Islamic extremism. Mm-hmm. What needs to come out of this Royal Commission, and what needs to happen now that something we never thought would happen has happened in Australia?
Yeah. Look, I think the Royal Commission was absolutely critical, because we need to know, not only we know what happened, but we need to know how it happened and to draw the appropriate lessons to ensure that it never happens again. Now, what happened in Bondi was not merely an intelligence failure, albeit it was a very glaring one, but it was a wholesale failure of leadership, okay? Anti-Semitism is no longer on the margins. We're far past that. It has now become mainstreamed. It is in our institutions, in the arts and cultural space, as we've seen, in the rise of Islamic extremism. It is... on social media and basically almost in every part of our society. And it's also not limited geographically just to New South Wales or Bondi. It is an Australia-wide issue. And I think that last point is something that is absolutely critical, because anti-Semitism is not merely a problem for the Jews. Even though there's two terrorists who targeted us in Bondi, they went after us because we were Jews. But this is an Australian problem, because when any one part of our society is under such threat, everyone is under threat, because it affects the very social fabric of who we are as a nation. My children, when they go to school, they have to go through like three layers of security. From our kindergartens to aged care homes, they have security. This is unthinkable.
When you say three levels of security, that this is important for our listeners to know. As a Jewish Australian, as a father, when you take your little girls to school, what are those three levels of security that they have to walk through in a free country like Australia?
Look, right now there are police, armed police. There are the Jewish Communal Security Group, which is a private security group for the Jewish community employs that protects us. And there's also additional hired security as well. Now, this is, you know, I dropped my kid off today at pre-K. Okay, this is what they have to go through. No other group in this country has to go through this. Now, we don't want to be living in gated walls like that. That's no way to live in any kind of free society, certainly not Australia. But the fact is, right now, there is this relentless and incessant threat against the Jewish community. And we saw that, obviously, the deadly manifestation in Bondi. What happens when such a long, prolonged period of hate and anti-Semitism and incitement goes unchecked?
The first thing I did when I saw you on the other side of the window is I walked outside and I gave you a big hug, and I hope that was okay.
Yeah, always, mate.
A bro hug, if you know what I mean. We're brothers. Are you buoyed by the response from the vast majority of Australians who are standing in solidarity with the Jewish community? And what response have you had, given that your face has sort of been all over the media in response to, you know, the terror attack?
Oh, look, I mean, the response from the Australian community as a whole has been incredible, in large part because, you know, everyone saw those jarring scenes from Bondi, okay? There's also the understanding that it does affect all of us. You know, even on the day itself, seeing everyday ordinary Australians, from the most incredible surf lifesavers that we have, just absolute heroes, to everyday citizens running not away from the fire but towards the fire to help, to protect, to provide first aid and comfort and to shield us. And we've seen that in the days and weeks after that, especially with the calls for the Royal Commission, with Australians from every walk of life and every spectre of society, from business leaders to lawyers to sports stars to security experts, calling for a Royal Commission, reiterating this is not just a security threat, it is a national threat, and it is something that affects the very core of who we are. So calling for that commission to call for the truth, to find out what are the root causes of anti-Semitism, what policies, what action items do we have to derive from that?
I'll come to these new laws in a sec, but you've been in Canberra the last 2 days with family members of the victims of the terror attack and community leaders as well. You're in the chamber for the condolence motions on Monday. Talk me through that experience.
It was deeply, deeply moving. The speeches, the remarks given from both sides of the political aisle, from Labor and from Liberal Party, were incredibly heartfelt. They were very raw, very honest, and I think everyone that spoke was able to recognize and make it very clear that it's time for action. We have to get there, but it is time for action. So as deeply heartfelt as those remarks were, and they were, everyone was deeply moved, even to see, you know, Mark Dreyfus from the ALP recite the Mourner's Kaddish in Hebrew was, you know, incredibly moving. But words, however heartfelt they are not enough. We need action. We need leadership. We need moral clarity. And we need our main parties coming together in a bipartisan manner, because, again, anti-Semitism, it's not a left-wing issue, it's not a right-wing issue, it's an Australian issue. And I think we saw that yesterday with the passage of the hate crimes bill.
What are your thoughts on the new laws? Do they go far enough?
Look, first of all, I think, it's something that we do very strongly embrace, the passage of these laws, and something we've called for a long time. And they provide a very solid and very important foundation moving forward. No law is perfect. We have to recognise that. But the fact that we had this bill passed was incredibly important because, you know, if you look at some of the key factors of what was adopted, and it was adopted by way of consensus, importantly, between Labor and Liberals and the Liberal Party, we now are in a position to prescribe hate groups like Hizb ut-Tahrir, and including some of these radical Islamic preachers who preach hate and vitriol and incite violence, including the neo-Nazis, by the way, as well. So again, it comes from all across the spectrum. You know, we're talking about the possibility of now stronger action on migration law to ensure not only that those who do preach this hate are not allowed into the country, but those that do preach it once they're here do not find safe haven in Australia. So I think those aspects were incredibly important. But again, it could go further as well, you know, but this is just the beginning. You know, the racial vilification aspect, it wasn't passed. It is something that is important to us as a Jewish community because we have seen what happens when hate targeted against our community, against our people, when that manifests in violence like we saw in Bondi. But we do understand that this is a very heated debate that goes also to the core of free speech issues in this country. And as important as it is, you know, it is something we would hope will be revisited at a later day, but obviously within a formula that can balance sort of our respect for hate speech, which is central, but also mindful of when some of this kind of hate speech turns into violence.
I would love your thoughts, Arson, on the response from our Prime Minister, Anthony Albanese, because he was booed when he eventually turned up to Bondi to support the Jewish community. He was in the Parliament yesterday in the House of Representatives shifting the blame, and he's referenced it again this morning saying all governments need to be better. I mentioned earlier that he fails to admit that there has been a 316% rise in anti-Semitic incidents between 2023 and 2024. Do you portion blame for what happened at Bondi to our Prime Minister?
I think there's enough blame here to go around. What happened in Bondi was a wholesale failure of leadership and warnings that went unheeded for far too long. I don't want to get into politics at this point because what we have here is something that goes far beyond that. The fact of the matter is we have seen an explosion of anti-Semitism since October 7th, 2 days after that, you remember after October 7th, the attacks by Hamas, we saw mob march on Sydney Harbour, Sydney Opera House. So we have seen almost every week, every day go by with some kind of an attack. So it is a fact that anti-Semitism has exploded unabated. And it is a fact that at the end of the day, Anthony Albanese is the Prime Minister and the buck stops with him. This is the government we have. There is also an honest responsibility on the opposition as well. But I think it's important that what we did see in Canberra was the Liberal Party and the ALP coming together, passing, and it should be noted and I think reinforced that the bill that did pass with overwhelming support from the ALP and the Liberal Party. And I think that is crucial because I think they finally understand that this is an issue that's not a left-wing or right-wing, but it's an Australian issue.
I haven't raised on this program since I've returned from my break the pedestrian bridge down there at Bondi. My view on whether it stays or goes is that that's a decision for the Jewish community and I think the victims' families of what happened down there. As somebody who was caught up in this and was injured by a bullet, how do you feel about that pedestrian bridge at Bondi, which people still walk over today?
Look, it is a sensitive issue, and you know I appreciate your what you just said. But I would say, you know, that the what happened in Bondi, yes, it was an attack against the Jewish community, but Bondi is part of all of us. It's an iconic landmark, you know, not just for Sydney but for the country as a whole. So the bridge belongs, I think, to all of us. We should be listening to, obviously, to this in this entire debate and discussion, obviously to the survivors and the victims' families, there needs to be an appropriate commemoration and memorial. And I should also add that in addition to the federal parliament, the local government here, headed by Mayor Will Nemish of Waverley, and also Chris Minns and Kelly Sloan from the state government, have been outstanding on this as well. Look, I don't have a specific viewpoint on how that should be commemorated, whether the bridge should stay or go. I would be inclined to leave the bridge only because what happened happened, and we can't just put it under the carpet, provided that the whatever does come from this is respectful and appropriate and done in a consensus manner. I think that will that will be right.
Well said. One last one, Arsene, and I thank you so much for coming into the studio this morning. Tomorrow's a national day of mourning. And at 7:01, we'll pause and observe a moment's silence. I wanted to ask you, and you're talking to listeners across Australia at the moment, what would you like the wider Australian community to think about, aside from the victims of what happened at Bondi? What would you like them to think about on this National Day of Mourning when we pause tomorrow?
Well, I mean, you're right. First and foremost, obviously, think of the victims and the survivors. You know, I would love to see everyday ordinary Australians just reach out to their Jewish mate, their Jewish co-worker or their neighbour, and just ask, how are you, mate? What can I do? And I think we've seen a lot of that. And, you know, you gave me a hug, which was fantastic. But I've also lost count of how many hugs I've received, including from random strangers. And it's beautiful. People want to embrace us. And I think we need that. Especially after Bondi, and to know that, you know, we are just like everyone else. We are Australians. And, you know, we're not asking for special treatment, but we're asking for equal treatment, for a fair go like everyone else. So I think having that embrace from the broader community, which we certainly have had since December 14, but to have that moving forward as well, I think that's critical.
Well, we've been trying to catch up since December 14, and I'm just so hopeful that our listeners appreciate being able to hear your voice and to what you went through and where you've been over the last couple of days in Canberra. Arsene Ostrovsky, you look after yourself, take care, and know that you've got a very passionate advocate for the Jewish community between 9 and midday here on 2GB, mate. Thanks for coming in.
Mate, I appreciate that, and thanks again.
No worries. Arsene Ostrovsky, ladies and gentlemen, thankfully still here to be able to tell his story about what happened at Bondi, and yes, we will pause tomorrow for a National Day of Mourning in the wake of what happened at Bondi on December 14. It's 20